Let's open in prayer tonight as we come around the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for revealing to us your way. We want to know your pure way. We don't want to go man's way. We want to go God's way. And Lord, I pray that every one of us would have that revelation within us and be taught of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We're looking at a very, very important issue, and that is the issue of modern Bible in inverted commas versions. And let me tell you that this is a major issue. It's not a small thing at all. And in fact, there has been a great invasion over the last century and apostasy, where people have left the pure word and gone to a word which is tragically not of God at all. Why not use modern Bible versions? Well, there's a simple answer, a very short answer, and I'm going to cut right to the root of the problem. The simple answer is that they are the work of the devil, and we have to understand that. Let's first of all look at a basic premise that we need to understand right from the beginning, and that's in Titus 1 verse 2. And this is something that God cannot do, in Titus 1 verse 2. So if anyone asks you, what cannot God do, you can answer them by quoting this verse. And it's a very, very important thing for us to understand. Titus 1 verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. We have to understand that God has said that he cannot lie. He cannot lie. If we have in our hands something which purports to be the Bible, which is the Word of God, then it must match up with this scripture. It must match up with the nature of God, which is that God cannot lie. As soon as you see a book purporting to be the Bible and yet has a lie or an error in it, well, you know that book is not the Word of God. And let me tell you clearly, this is the premise, the whole premise of this modern version issue. God cannot lie. If we understand that God cannot lie, then when we meet up with something that is lying and full of error and deception, we have to recognise that it's not from God. It's as simple as that. And there's no use anyone saying otherwise, because then they're just arguing against the basic principle of God cannot lie. Let's have a look at Psalm 11 verse 3. Because when you come against this foundation, if that foundation is destroyed, then the faith of people is destroyed as well. Psalm 11 verse 3. Let me encourage you to read the booklet that I have written, which is the Authorised King James Bible Connection. It's over on the table on the side there. You can read that. So let's look at Psalm 11 verse 3. Notice what it says. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now this is very interesting, because Jesus said to build our house upon his words. To build our house upon his words. So where is the devil targeting today? He's targeting the Word of God. Because he knows that if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? Where there is a destruction of the foundation, what happens to the house? It falls down. If the church is attacked fundamentally in this area of the Word of God, what happens to the church? Compromise sets in, apostasy sets in, rot sets in, and destruction sets in. So the devil knows where the battle is. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We know, and we should understand, God cannot lie. God cannot lie. Now the Bible gives a prophecy in Amos 8 verse 11 about the last days, and I believe it fits perfectly in these days that we're living in. Amos 8 verse 11. Amos 8 verse 11 is talking about a day where there's a great famine. Not a famine of the Word of God, because the Word of God has been made available. We know that the King James Bible is available. There's no doubt about that. Verse 11 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." You might say, well, why is God sending this famine? Well, the Bible tells us that there's judgment on sin. If people will not hear the truth, then they will hear something else. And the Bible's telling us that there will be a day, the day is coming, and I believe we've arrived at those days where there's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Not a famine of the words of the Lord, because the words of the Lord are available for all those who want to follow and walk in truth. But there's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. So what are they hearing? Well, they're obviously hearing something else. They're obviously running to and fro to something else. Notice what it says in verse 12, "And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." It's not that the word of the Lord isn't available. The King James Bible is available right across the planet. It's the famine of hearing, which tells us that there's something wrong in the heart. Because the Bible tells us, and Jesus says, that this people's heart is waxed gross, so they cannot hear and they cannot see. This is the famine that we're living in today, so that people are wandering to and fro and using a particular filthy scholarship to try and determine the words of the Lord. But people, there's over 100 different modern versions. That's 100 different ways of putting together one particular verse. God cannot lie, and each of those 100 different ways are different from the other, from each other. Some are completely contradictory to each other. I'm going to go through a few contradictions in a minute. We have to understand that God cannot lie, and this is a fundamental issue. So if someone comes to you and says, "Oh, why can't we use modern versions?" You must be able to pinpoint and say, God cannot lie. God cannot lie, that's the foundation. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, the righteous can't build their house if the foundations are destroyed. You see, God is sovereign, and we have to understand that. God is sovereign in history, and He has put down a particular word. When He inspired His word and put it into the Hebrew and Greek manuscripts, He said, "These are the words that I want in the earth." And then God supervised His word throughout history and eventually brought brought the text so that it was received throughout history until today. We have the final received text in English, which is the King James Bible, and in particular, the Pure Cambridge Edition. We have to see that God has supervised His word. He has looked over His word. He has guarded His word. He has been jealous with His word. He has been sovereign with His word. His words do not change. And we have to understand that. If there's 100 different modern Bible versions, Bible in inverted commas, because I don't acknowledge them as Bibles, but purporting to be Bibles, and they're all contradictory and changed from one another, we have to see, is this the nature of God? Well, let's have a look. Malachi 3, verse 6. Is this the nature of God? That His word can be changed. Malachi 3, verse 6. You see, a surfy version might come out, and they'll change the words of Jesus and make Him say all types of things which He never did say. This is the contemporary way, they say. But you see, God cannot change. God cannot lie. They're putting words into the mouth of Jesus which He never said. That tells us something, doesn't it? Malachi 3 verse 6. "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." You notice, "I am the Lord, I change not." God doesn't contradict Himself. God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. Look at 1 Peter 1:23 to 25, and we can see that God's word does not change. God supervises his word. You know, I've heard arguments from people that say, well, you can't exactly translate out of the Hebrew and Greek. And my answer to that is, why not? Why can't God exactly translate or cause or supervise for his word to be exactly translated from Hebrew and Greek into English? Why not? You see, what they're saying is the basis of false scholarship. What we're saying is in line with the word of God, which is, I am the Lord, I change not, God cannot lie. Now, if you think about it, you know, these modern versions say, well, you like, you take the NIV, the New International Version, and they say something like, well, we've got 98% accuracy. That other 2%, well, you just can't be sure of. And if you go through those books, you'll see there's all types of doubt notes. Little notes at the bottom of the text saying, this wasn't in the earliest manuscript. Doubt notes all through the text, all through it. You can have a look at any one of those and you'll see it right through them. And that's placing doubt. That's saying, well, you know, we can't really get the exact rendering. But let me ask you a question. If God saw fit to put his word exactly down in Hebrew and Greek in the original manuscripts, why then would he allow even 2% to be lost throughout history? Is our God powerful? Is our God powerful or not? Can he preserve his word forever? You see, the God of the modern versions is a very weak God. It's not the God of the Bible. It's a weak God that cannot preserve. We have to see that our God is a God that cannot change, cannot lie, and does not change. And we're looking at 1 Peter 1, verses 23 to 25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Here's the question, can the word of God be corrupted? Not on the basis of this verse, it says, of incorruptible by the word of God. The word of God is incorruptible seed. Look at verse 24 and 25. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. What's it saying about man? Man changes? Man withers? God doesn't? What are you going to do? Trust in man's scholarship? Or trust in God's way, which brings up good scholarship and good teaching, which is in line with his nature? He cannot lie and he changes not. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You notice it says endureth forever? Endureth means it can go through sin. It can go through times of great sin. It can endure through that. It can endure even if the whole planet is taken over by sin. It can endure through devils working through this planet. We have to see that God is a powerful God. He can preserve his word. There's no problems with that. He can perfectly cause his word to be translated from the original languages into English today. And praise the Lord for that, because we have a powerful God. You know, the majority, and this is something to keep in mind whenever talking to people about this issue, the majority of extant or existing manuscripts, now listen to this, the majority of manuscripts you can look at today in the Hebrew and Greek agree with the text that you find in the Authorised King James Bible. The majority of the existing manuscripts today. Modern versions base many of their readings on two particular Catholic manuscripts, the Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus. Those manuscripts underlie the modern versions, and if you were to have a look at photographs of these manuscripts, and you can, I can show them to you if you want, I've got examples of that, you will find that they're marred, that is, they're marked, they disagree profoundly with each other, and they're obviously tampered with. In other words, these manuscripts, which are underlying modern versions, are clearly the work of heretics, clearly the work of corruptors, clearly the work of people who want to change doctrines. This is why you see various doctrines in the modern versions which are contrary to the truth. This is why you see the deity or the lordship, the divinity of Christ, undermined. This is why you see many verses about the Lord Jesus Christ chopped down. We're going to look at one or two of those examples in a minute. Now, which is right? Is the modern version stream right, or the King James Bible pure stream right? Let me give you an example. Turn to Isaiah 9 verse 3. Isaiah 9 verse 3. And you'll notice the reading in the King James Bible. And we'll look at just the first part of Isaiah 9 verse 3, verse 3a. Notice what it says. This is Isaiah 9 verse 3a. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Let me read it again. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. The New International Version says this. See if you can see the difference. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. Let me read what the New International Version says. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. Which is right? It's a complete contradiction, isn't it? The New International Version is saying something that's completely contradictory to the King James Bible. And this is just one example, people. We can go through many examples similar to this. So here we have a book which purports to be a Bible and yet is in contradiction to the King James Bible, which agrees with the majority of existing manuscripts in Hebrew and Greek today that we have, that we can look at. We have to look at this very seriously. We have on one side something saying in contradiction to another side. One must be right. And we have to understand that it's not a small issue at all. You might say, well, the majority are using modern versions and it's a contemporary language. People, let's understand something. There's much taken out in modern version. Many corruptions entered in. If God wanted to say something in English, and he has done it, and he put it into the King James Bible, and it's been in existence for 400 years, and in fact held sway amongst Protestants for many hundreds of years, it's only in the last century there's been a huge undermining of this when the modern versions came up. We have to see that there has been an invasion, there has been a corruption, there has been something that has come into the churches that is not of God. There are two different manuscript streams. The pure, which has been preserved by the true church in history. In fact, the Eastern Orthodox Church kept the pure Greek manuscripts throughout history for a period of 1,000 years until the time of the Reformation. And there's also another manuscript stream, which is the impure, and that's kept by the false church in history. Believers in, and we won't turn to it, believers in 3 John verses 3 and 4 are commanded to walk in truth, not in error or deception. We're commanded to walk in truth. We're commanded to go the way of the pure, to walk in truth. Here's another prophecy we should look at. Matthew 24, verses 3 and 4. Jesus prophesied about one of the signs of the end times. And it's a wonderful thing for us to see this and understand it. Matthew 24, verses 3 and 4. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. In fact, throughout this chapter, Jesus talks about deception several times. Deception would be a major end time sign. Haven't we seen that with things like the modern versions? We've seen a great deception. Something that is saying in opposition to the pure stream that I talked about. Saying in opposition to the majority of existing manuscripts that we have. Saying in opposition to godly tradition and what has been the received text. Godly reception of that. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. You see, just because many are deceived, it doesn't mean that the few are wrong. And the fact is, I believe that God is going to turn the tide so that the pure will be exalted for what it is, the Word of God. People might say, and there's quite a few things that people can bring up, they might say, well, how can the King James Bible be perfectly translated? Can there be a perfect translation from the original languages into English? I said, yes. If God has supervised the process, our God is not weak. Look at Matthew 19, verse 26. Matthew 19, 26. See, God is in control of history. If God wasn't in control of history, everything would be in ruin. The whole planet would be completely destroyed by now. God is in control. He keeps sin in its place. And one day, the Bible tells us, He will end the world, this present evil world. We're looking at Matthew 19, verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now, some people think it's impossible to preserve the Word of God throughout history because of how difficult it is in their minds. But you see, with God all things are possible. Whatever is possible to God. Okay, obviously, we're not talking about nonsensical things like God can't lie, God can't make a square circle. You see, that's illogical, isn't it? But we're talking about that which is possible, God can do. So we see here, with God all things are possible. We need to understand that it is not hard for God to preserve His Word. We don't have a weak God. You know, if you go into the modern versions, you'll find verses missing, such as John 5, verse 4. We won't turn to that. But if you were to turn into a modern version to John 5, verse 4, you'll see John 5, verse 3. And you'll see John 5, verse 5. But you won't see John 5, verse 4. Sometimes I'll have a little doubt note there, and I'll have right at the bottom in the doubt note, saying something like this verse shouldn't be in the text because it's not really part of the Word of God. So here we see the modern versions taking out complete verses. And that's just one example. There's many examples of that. Many examples. What about the old English people say? Isn't it better to be contemporary and easy? In fact, old English predates the King James Bible. We've got to understand that. King James Bible is in the modern English era, the modern English times. But you see, God has used the English to put exactly what He wanted to say out of the original languages. And what we need to do is get our vocabulary up and understand what particular words that may be a little bit more difficult mean, rather than try to change it or water it down. We need to be educated and learned and understand what the Bible is saying rather than the opposite way around. Because as I mentioned before, if you have the surface version, what you're doing is you're starting to put the words of man into the mouth of Jesus. Make him out to be a liar. Make him say things he never said. God has perfectly caused his word to be translated because it's not impossible for him. God supervised the process. And besides that, only God gives understanding to the heart of man. We have to understand that. You can make it so simple, and yet unless God gives understanding, they'll never understand it. You see, the King James Bible is not hard to understand if you've got the Spirit of God with you. If you've got the Spirit of God with you, it's not hard to understand. Have a look at John 16, verse 13a. The first part of John 16, verse 13. You need the Spirit of God to understand the Bible. This is something people have to understand. You need the Spirit of God. John 16, verse 13. Notice what it says here. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, notice truth, not error, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So he's our guide, and he'll guide you into all truth. Have a look also at Isaiah 29, verses 10 to 14. Isaiah 29, 10 to 14. Listen carefully to what it says here. You know, man needs God to be able to understand his word. And it's as simple as that. You know, I've known people who have had the Bible, and I'm talking about the King James Bible, and they can't even understand one verse in it. And they tell me, it's all a mystery to me. Let's have a look at Isaiah 29, verses 10 to 14. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. So what's it saying there? If God seals a book, even the learned can't unseal it. Verse 12, and the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I am not learned. If God seals a book, even those that aren't learned cannot understand it. So that covers all categories, doesn't it? It covers the learned and the not learned. So what's that saying? It's saying that it's not the basis of learning or men's learning that you're going to be able to undo or unlock or unseal the word of God. Look at verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honour me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. What we see here is that their heart is far from God. Well, God won't unseal his book to people whose heart is far from them. And they're taught by the precept of men, not by the Spirit of truth, because he guides into all truth. Let's understand this. Verse 14, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvellous work among this people, even a marvellous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. You know, learning outside of God can cause great confusion. The Bible is very, very important. It's full of doctrines, and doctrines are important. But modern versions undermine the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have a look at an example. Ephesians 3, verse 9. Let's read it in the King James Bible. Ephesians 3, verse 9. We'll see that Ephesians 3 verse 9 glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. I could go on for hours giving examples and talking to you about this, but let me created all things by Jesus Christ. Well, you'll notice that the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified there, isn't he? It says, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Listen to what the New International Version says. See if you can spot the difference. This is what the New International Version says in Ephesians 3 verse 9. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. What's been left out? Glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find this constantly right through. You'll find the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ undermined. You'll find Jesus Christ himself undermined. You'll find verses missing. You'll find verses in complete contradiction to the King James Bible. People, we have to see that it's not a small issue. And if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You see, Victory Faith Centre will never be preaching, never, and I emphasise the word never, never be preaching from modern versions. Because we have the pure Word of God. Look at Proverbs 30 verse 5. Proverbs 30 verse 5. We have to see that every word matters. Every word matters in the Bible. We can't say, that's just an and. That doesn't matter. Well, that's just a but. Every word matters. Every word matters. And God tells us this. Proverbs 30 verse 5. Notice what it says. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. How do you put your trust in God? By trusting his word. That's why you need every word of God to be pure. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. The Bible also tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want a pure faith. You want a complete faith. You don't want something that is being undermined. You need the Word of God to build your faith up. Every Word of God is pure. Look also at 1 Kings 8 verse 56. 1 Kings 8 verse 56. God looks over His Word and make sure that his word is kept and preserved. And we've preached many sermons at Victory Faith Centre related to this. You can look at our catalogue and choose a few and listen to them. 1 Kings 8 verse 56. Notice what we read here. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. But we saw before in Isaiah 9 verse 3 that the New International Version took out the word not and said increase their joy instead of what the truth says, which is not increase their joy. You see, every word matters. Just a little word changed can change the whole meaning of a verse. Every word matters. People, I pray that tonight you see that this is an important issue. And it's not an issue that's small. And I believe it's a growing realisation amongst people, not only here, but amongst people all over the world, all over this earth, that there is a pure word, and they'll ask, where is it? We have to be people that know where it is and preach it. And I pray that we all be people like that. And when we speak, we're speaking the pure word and getting our words in line with that. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you that you have put your wonderful word in the earth today. And Lord, we know that you have every word pure that we can take hold and build a pure faith on. I pray that every one of us here would be people built up in the Word of God constantly. Bring us together again, Lord. Bless every person here abundantly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Amen.